Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com in association, as always, well, since recently, with Olay.com. Now, I should warn you straight from the start that this is going to be the worst Arscast ever. It's episode 27, and I've been sitting here today trying to think of, you know, good things to do, and aside from all the usual bits and pieces that we have, like Arsene Wenger Hawkins and the man in the bar being here, and a little blog chat with Gilberto Silver from Gunnar Blog about that new goalkeeper and signings that we have, I can't think of anything else to talk about, or any sort of amusing little sketch type things. I had this whole thing planned out, which was sort of like Arsene Wenger was a major in a war, and the guy's coming up going, "Arsene, we need reinforcements," and he's going, "No, we don't need reinforcements," and he's going, "Look, there's Russians coming from the west, Americans from the north, blah, 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 blah," and he's going, "No, I don't necessarily feel that reinforcements are the way to win the battle, etc., etc. You know, look at them from the north. They only signed one midfield general. You know, if we can get one or two super soldiers in," it was all very topical and cool. I spent ages putting together this sort of background of war, special effects, and explosions, and machine guns, and everything, and just couldn't think of any way to finish it off. Very well, depressing, really. So that's why. Now, this is going to be the worst Arscast ever. And I'll expect... This is the funniest thing I could come up with today. Wait, this is it.
Adibayor.
Ooh, rock me, Adibayor. See, I told you this was going to be the worst Arscast ever. If you feel that you should spend your time better, switch off right now. Honestly, even if you're listening on the train or the bus, you'd be better off listening to somebody behind you, two idiots talking about what's really going on in Lost, when, as we all know, there's fucking nothing going on. They have no idea. They're just making it up as they go along. How do I know this? I've never even watched it. I know. Anyway, as I said, between now and the end, we've got Arsene Wenger Hawkins. We have got the man in the bar with another player history, chat with Gilberto Silver from Gunnar Blog, and whatever else springs to mind between now and then. So, since the last Arscast, which we were preparing for the possible return of Ashley Cole to Arsenal, we played Chelsea on Sunday, and as expected, Cole chickened out, Mourinho chickened out, they all chickened out. Injured my arse, was he injured. He just wasn't going to face the music. The unfortunate thing for Ashley is that no matter when he comes back, and he is going to have to come back at some stage, the reception that he gets is going to be the same as it was this year. He should have just got it over and done with. Got it out of the way. So, you know, he can move on, and we can just give him the same stick the next time he comes back. And that's what's going to happen, basically. Next time he comes back, whenever it might be, he's going to get all the grief from the crowd that he should have got this time around. In terms of the game, disappointing, you would have to say, from the point of view that we were one goal up. Chelsea had 10 men, and I know it was only Boularoos being sent off, so it would have been a bit like Baptista being sent off for us, you know. It wouldn't have made a huge amount of difference in the grand scheme of things, but numerically you would think that, given our advantage, we could have performed better in the second half. Chelsea fighting for the title, not giving it up in the slightest, performed very, very well in the second half. Of course, it didn't deserve all the fucking wanking over it that Sky did. Even watching the Manchester United-Chelsea game on Wednesday night, Martin Tyler and Andy Gray were talking about how marvellous Chelsea were, as if they're the only team that's ever played well with 10 men. Hang on a minute. You know, unless you win, you've got no chance of retaining the title. So of course you're going to give it fucking everything. You know, you'd have to ask questions of a team that didn't. What you would ask questions of, I suppose, from our point of view, is our defence, which always looks vulnerable. You can never be sure that we're not going to concede. In fact, you can be sure most of the time that we will. There was a time when Arsenal went 1-0 up and that was it, game over, end of story. This time, Arsenal can be, you know, 2-3-4-0 up and you still wouldn't be too confident that we wouldn't get pegged back. The ability to concede a goal at any time, at any moment, is something that needs to be worked on. And William Gallas, Arsene Wenger said there yesterday that we haven't seen the best of William Gallas. Well, I'd fucking hope not. Shit defending for the goal for Chelsea. And after all his mouthing and all his talking about how Arsenal need to improve and how we need to be more ruthless, he has a point about that, of course. But, you know, get your own house in order before you start pointing the finger at anybody else. That would be my thinking on it, William Gallas. Let's hope, if he's around next season, that he plays an awful lot better than he has done this season. Perhaps it takes a year to rid yourself of the stain of Chelsea upon your very soul. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. Still to come, a chat with Gilberto Silva, the man in the bar, will be here. But right now, Arsene Wenger Hawkins has a bit of an announcement.
Hello, everyone. It is with great sadness that I announce my retirement from the Arscasts. As they say, all good things must come to an end. And given this announcement, it appears that some mediocre things come to an end as well. I know some of you will be worried about me. What will I do without the Arscast to give my life meaning? Well, don't worry. I'm not going to kill myself or anything. Let's face it, I can't even lift my little finger, so making a noose is going to be a bit beyond me. Sure, I could take myself off into traffic and hope for the best, but everyone knows drivers are 100% conscientious these days and would never drive recklessly or without due care. I can't quite categorically deny that I have had contact with any other podcasts or blogs. I just want to take my time before deciding on my next move. Even if you see pictures of me with Newcastle chairman Freddie Shepherd drinking scotch and licking the nipples of an Estonian stripper, it's entirely coincidental. I would like to thank Arsblogger for allowing me to vent my spleen for all this time. As well as that, I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Finally, some personalized goodbyes. Ashley Cole. I hope your balls rot off, you cheating cunt. Sam Allardyce. Explode, you fat prick. Jose Mourinho. Go back to hell, Satan. Alan Pardew. Enjoy life in the championship, fucker. Carl Smith from Manchester. Your mum. So, that's it. Perhaps we'll meet again, but I don't know where and I don't know when. Well, I know where, but not when. Hasta la próxima, Ars chums.
A moment's silence for Arsene Wenger Hawkins. There you go. So, will he be back at some point? Who knows? He might well be. Maybe he's gone off to, I don't know what. Live in the jungle? Raise money for orphans? Cure cancer. Help starvation in Africa. Perhaps, if he's feeling very humanitarian, he's gone somewhere to kill Amy Winehouse. Very, 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 very slowly indeed. Remember last week when when I said at the start of the Arscast that you might hear some strange noises like birds tweeting and things like that because I had the window open? Well, I was sitting here with the window open this week and a house two doors down has got music blasting out of it, which I can hear at the moment even though I've got the window closed. So if you hear terrible, terrible music in the background of this particular section of the Arscast, it's their fault. Perhaps I should send Arsene Wenger Hawkins over to sort them out. But, if he is actually on a mission to stop and kill Amy Winehouse, then I would hate to distract him from that, because that is a worthy cause, a noble cause for any man to take up for the good of the rest of humanity. I know some people won't understand, but it's true. She must be stopped. Now, last week, Arsblog was the first to bring you the story about a Polish goalkeeper called Lukasz Fabianski. Of course, all the rest of the press picked up on it as well. And it seems this week that a deal has been done to bring him to the club. And it's a strange timing, but obviously he'll be at the club for the start of next season. It does raise some questions, I suppose, over the future of Manuel Almunia or Mart Poom. Or possibly both. Certainly one of them is bound to go. Almunia more likely than Poom, because he has got some offers, I believe, of first-team football back in Spain. So Fabianski will understudy Jens, I suppose, for the first part of the season, if not the whole of the season, and play in the cup competitions. Whether or not he's good enough to take over from Jens before the end of the season remains to be seen. I think it could be an interesting move from the point of view that what you have is a highly motivated young 22-year-old trying to make the number one jersey his own. Jens Lehmann has got Euro 2008 coming up, and if he thinks that he's got genuine competition, because I quite like Manuel Almunia, but he's never going to be an Arsenal number one. So from that point of view, maybe it's easy for Jens to get a bit complacent, and we've seen that in recent weeks. He doesn't know this new kid, and he's going to see a new hungry goalkeeper come to the club, and it's going to keep him on his toes for next season as well. And if this boy is good enough to take over at the end of the season for the start of the season after next, then everyone's happy. It's a good move. Anyway, I speak now a little bit to Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog about Fabianski and about Arsene's comments during the week that signings aren't necessarily the way to win the title. Not something I agree with 100%. Not something too many Arsenal fans would agree with, I think, at the moment. But anyway, this is what we had to talk about in this week's Blog Chat. Right now on the Arsblog Arscast, it is time to go to the seedy back streets of London, where Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog.com is hanging around for no good reason at all. Hello to you.
Hello to you.
How are the seedy back streets of London?
Seedy. There's lots of sort of, you know, rain and, I don't know, dropped cards of prostitutes, and a man in a dressing gown just walked past, even though it's raining and even though I'm on the street. Welcome to London.
Sounds like a fun time for you anyway. Let's talk a little bit firstly about the goalkeeper thing. And all the reports are suggesting, and my Polish sources, who are very good indeed, tell me that this guy, Lukas Fabianski, is going to sign for Arsenal. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, I can't lie. I haven't really heard of Fabianski before this. But he's 22. It's a good age for a young goalkeeper to come in. I mean, I have to admit, I am a bit surprised, because everything that Arsene said in the past year or so has indicated that he rates Almunia very highly. And even when Lehmann signed the contract, he was talking about Almunia. So it does lead me to wonder if maybe he's going to move on in search of immediate first-team football, and Fabianski will come in as a long-term replacement for Lehmann.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting signing, in so much as I can't think of why it's actually interesting. The timing of it is sort of strange, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the sort of signing we were hoping for. There's a lot of excitement going into this summer, and this is what's strange about it is who's negotiating the transfer. You know, I mean, everyone said, oh, there can't be any signings until someone comes in as a replacement for Dean, but it hasn't turned out that way at all. You know, it looks like we've already got one pretty much in the bag. So, hopefully it'll be the first of many.
I do know who negotiated the transfer. I'm not sure if I can say, but it is an existing board member who did all the negotiation on that transfer.
All right, well, there you go.
Okay, the whole area of signings is something that's getting people into knots already, because everybody can see at this point in time that Arsenal need not only to replace some of the players that are there who will be moving on this summer, but also improve the squad in a number of ways. And when you read comments by Arsene, and he says signings aren't necessarily the way to go about winning the title, you'd have to disagree. Well, I would disagree with him on that, in that regard, because I think this Arsenal side does need some signings.
Indeed, and if you look at the teams, if you're saying signing players isn't necessarily the way to win the title, well, that's true enough, but certainly worked for Chelsea. And Manchester United made one very big signing this summer. the sun had just gone. In my character signing at the time, I thought was well, it was crazy money, but I didn't think it would work out. And evidently, it shows, you know, the impact that a new player can have. And I think if we are serious about improving, we can't expect the young players to just, you know, I said on my blog, magically improve over the summer. You know, while they're playing, I don't know, lying around on the beach, they're not going to suddenly be great players again in August. You know, it doesn't happen like that. It takes years and years and plenty of experience before we'll see that come to fruition. And at this stage, we definitely need one or two additions to help us out.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, when you look at the, for example, let's say Almunia is going to go. We've got that with a keeper, but Flamini is gone, more or less. Ali Adier is gone. Baptista is gone. Reyes won't be coming back. So there is a gap in the squad, isn't there? And possibly you could look at maybe one or two others who might go as well. You might look at somebody like Freddy, who's on big wages and hasn't done anything for 2 years, or Hleb, who's driving everybody mad. If that amount of players goes again, we've got to make the squad stronger. So one or two signings really isn't going to be enough.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. I mean, if you look at the players that Arsenal have let go in the last few years, you know, you're talking about players like Pires, Bruno Burkamp's retired, but Campbell, Cole, Reyes, you mentioned there, and now you're adding to that list the likes of Flamini. You know, Flamini's not a world beater, but he's a solid squad player. And we've placed a lot of faith in youth while we got rid of these players, and sometimes it's paid off. Someone like Cesc has really come, you know, to fruition, been a great player for us. But in other cases, we've looked like we lack experience, we lack cutting edge, and if we want to get that back, we are going to have to add a couple of players this summer, and Arsenal's really got to bite the bullet on that one.
Okay, but then there will be people who say, well, look, Gallas had an injury hit season, we missed Thierry Henry, we missed Robin Van Persie. When we get those guys back, Theo Walcott will be better next year, Fabregas will be better next year, Clichy will be better next year, all the young players will come on a bit next year. What about the people who will say that? Are they living in a bit of a fantasy land, or do they have some kind of a point?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not like Championship Manager, where when a player, you know, when it's their birthday, all their attributes go up a bit. You know, I think these things are really dependent on form and the way the team is performing as a whole. A young player.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Can it improve more dramatically in a winning team than they will in a team that is struggling? And I happen to believe that. People say you learn from defeat, you learn from mistakes. But I think if you're playing a successful team with players who are on form, it's actually a much better education. And I think that this season we've had a lot of problems with injuries, as you talk about with the strikers. But the problem isn't only with the strikers. You know, the midfield, people like Fabregas have been present all season, but he hasn't scored enough goals. That's a problem that needs solving. Likewise, the defence. you know, Gallus has been injured, but when Gallus and Toure have been there, it's not like we've looked particularly secure. So there are a lot of problems in the side, and I think new players can address some of them, but others, like the defensive problems, maybe need corrected with other methods like coaching.
Okay, well, that's something we'll return to on another Arscast and another blog chat, I'm sure. Until then, Gilberto Silva, take it easy. Stay safe on the seedy streets of London.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
My thanks to Gilberto Silva from GunnarBlog.com for taking the time out from his busy schedule of lurking around alleyways while men in underpants go around the place. Cheers for that, man. One thing that I will try and do in the next couple of weeks is do that threesome thing again. I meant the phone calls. Some of you have sick minds. I know what you were thinking instantly there. But yeah. You remember, we had Gunnar Blog, East Lower, and Good Player all on at the same time. And hopefully, if everybody can get together and we can organise that and schedule that, we can discuss the season that has just passed and what people think, where our weak points have been, where our good points have been, where we can improve, where we really need to improve, and thoughts on potential signings and transfers in and out of the club before the new season starts in August. And of course, from this Sunday onwards, we're without any football. So I'm wondering a bit about the Arscast, I have to say, because as difficult as it is at times to write something on the blog during the summer, and it is sometimes very difficult because there are weeks when nothing at all happens. Ooh, I just got a text message. Bum, 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 da, da, da. You are a cunt. Nice one, Tom. Cheers. Anyway, as I was saying, about the Arscast, what the hell am I going to talk about all summer long? If there's no football, there's the odd transfer rumour, isn't there? Well, there's always loads of transfer rumours, but I mean, you know, how much can you talk about that? And now that Arsene Wenger Hawkins is retired, my plan of having him read a chapter of War and Peace every week, just to take up the time, well, that's gone right out the window as well, hasn't it? Fucking selfish old cunt. I don't know. We'll have to find something. Your suggestions, of course, will always be welcome. If you want to email them in, the email address is arscast@arsblog.com. That's arscast@arsblog.com. Or you can just leave a message on the arses, which are at the bottom of every day's Ars Blog post. And it's actually a funny thing. People say, oh, why don't you let comments on your Ars Blog thing? I go, well, I do. You know, you see the things there that says arses. 172 arses, 401 arses, their comments. Oh, didn't realise that. What, you thought they were actually arses? Oh, I don't know, some people. Anyway, that's the email address, and that's how to get in touch if you like. Now then, don't forget that the Arse Blog Arscast is sponsored by OleOle.com, which is a football community site, which is absolutely free to join. You get your own blog, you can post stories, you can post comments and all kinds of things. And OleOle.com has teamed up with the South American Football Federation to offer great ticket packages for lots of football occasions, such as the Champions League final, UEFA Cup final, and get this, the Copa America in Venezuela this summer. I could think of a few worse places to watch football in the summer than Venezuela, can't you? More details on oleole.com. Click on ticket packages for more information. Now then, the man at the bar is here, and he's got another player history.
Ah, hello there, Mr. Arsblog. There you are again. I've pulled the Guinness, and it's time for another player history. Now, today I'm going to teach you, do you hear me? As if you don't already know, about a great Arsenal legend, and his name was Dennis Bergkamp, you see. And he was an amazing player, but when Arsenal signed him, it was a big surprise, because at the time, Arsenal had been really struggling. George Graham had been sacked. Stuart Houston, who wasn't even from Texas or didn't own any kind of a train station, he was sacked as well, and the team was wallowing in mid-table. But then by some miracle, on a par with the virgin birth or the continued football career of Robbie Savage, Bruce Rioch managed to sign Dennis Bergkamp from Inter Milan. Now, Dennis wasn't having a great time out there, you see, because there was a bit of tension between the Dutch and the Italians, which was left over from 2 years previously when Holland had invaded Sardinia. So Dennis would be playing and he'd be going, here, give us the ball there. And they'd be going, fuck off you, you Dutch cunt. I'm not giving it to you and giving it to another Italian. And nobody will give me. He's only scored one goal in 7 years or something in Inter Milan. So he came to Arsenal and it wasn't long before he made himself a legend in the stripy socks we had at the time. It took him a while to score his first goal. People thought he was never going to score. But then he played against Southampton and he rocketed one in and then another one. And then the goals kept coming and coming and coming. Sort of like an elephant having sex with a pig. You see. Anyway, Dennis was famous because he wouldn't fly. And many people think that's because when he was going to the World Cup in 1994, there was a bit of an old bomb scare on the plane. But that's not true. The real story, which he's kept hidden all these years, is that Dennis Bergkamp, many years ago, was teaching Superman how to harness his superpowers and use them for the good of all mankind. But Dennis, being the perfectionist that he is, didn't take kindly to Superman's laissez-faire attitude to his training, you see. And they had a big falling out. Big fisticuffs were involved. Dennis won, of course, because he is omnipotent, as it were. But Superman said to him, right you, Bergkamp, you cunt. Next time you're on a plane, I'm going to come fucking shooting through the sky with me arm out. I'm going to fly right through the plane and not only you'll die, but everyone on the plane will die too. So for the good of his teammates and for the good of everyone else who might have been travelling on the plane, Dennis Bergkamp never flew again. Dennis retired last year and he had an old testicle-monial in which loads of people and old players came. Nowadays, he plays game after game of Operation with his children. That's me, funny bone! And he writes adventure stories about a bear named Barnaby. It's true.
The man in the bar will be back with another player history on next week's Arsecast. He's not retiring. He's not allowed. There'll be nothing left on the bloody show. So, yeah, he can't. I'll just keep him plied with beer. That should do the trick. Now then, I just want to talk a little bit about the Thierry Henry to Barcelona story that's been all over the newspapers this week. It started in El Mundo Deportivo, which is a Catalan sports newspaper. It is the mouthpiece of Barcelona. Now, what they said was they quoted Joan Laporta. No, they quoted a radio station quoting Joan Laporta at lunch, saying that he was going to close the signing of Thierry Henry. Fantastic. What they've also said then is that Barcelona as a club are willing to forgive Thierry Henry for what he said last year after the Champions League final about Barcelona, about the way they played football, about the way he was kicked. Also, they'll forgive him for turning his back on them. And once he gives them his solemn word that he won't turn his back on them again, they'll start to negotiate with Arsenal. Very nice of them, isn't it? The paper says that Barcelona want a fearsome foursome up front next season of Henry, Ronaldinho, Eto'o and Messi. Now, there are bollocks and there are enormous bollocks and there are the greatest biggest load of bollocks you ever heard of in your life. And that's what that is. If Barcelona want Thierry Henry, if they really want Thierry Henry, it is to replace Eto'o, who, despite being a very good player and a good goal scorer and a hugely important player for Barcelona over the last few years, is troublesome in other areas, off the pitch. And he has this tendency to sort of fly off to Paris in midweek, I'm told, and go shopping and things like that and just sort of disappear. As well as that, he's quite outspoken, and not necessarily in a good way. He's fallen out with Rijkaard. When he was due to come back from his injury, he refused apparently to go on. While he was out, he accused Ronaldinho of being a selfish player, of Joan Laporta of being dishonest. So you have to bear that in mind when you see these stories about Thierry Henry. They want rid of Eto'o. And what you have to ask yourself in that regard then is, why would Barcelona want to change a player who's only 25, 26 years of age in Eto'o, who's as fast as Henry, I suppose, scores as many goals more or less as Henry, and has done for the last two, three seasons consistently for them, who's going to be going into his prime as a player between 20 and 26 and 32 years of age, I suppose. Why would they swap him for a guy who has spent more or less a season out injured, and while still a very, very good player, is not what you would call on an upward trajectory in his career. I still think Thierry Henry can do a good job for another three or four seasons. However, if you had to look long-term, you'd have to look at Eto'o, wouldn't you? So you have to put all those things in perspective. And we'll have a lot of time to talk about that during the summer and all the other speculation that comes into it. But the way I see it is, number one, Arsene Wenger won't sell him to Barcelona or to anyone. Thierry Henry has said repeatedly he doesn't want to go. And that's pretty much the case closed from the Arsenal end of things. Of course, Barcelona will keep going, and they'll keep the stories coming in the newspapers, and who knows what else they'll come out with in order to try and move the situation along. But remember one thing: the Barca or the Spanish press in general are absolutely full of fucking shit. Joan Laporta, he's also full of shit. And people need to just realise that there's more to Barcelona wanting Thierry Henry than meets the eye. Anyway, we'll have all summer to talk about this. The weekend ahead, it's the final game of the season. I can't believe where the season has gone, to be honest. We've got Portsmouth down on the south coast. Liverpool are playing Charlton, you see, on the final day of the season. And even though they've got the Champions League final ahead, I think they'll play a reasonable team. Charlton are absolutely fucking shite anyway. And Liverpool have a better goal difference than us, I think, by two. So we need to win by, three more goals than Liverpool win by, considering the fact they're playing Charlton and are going to win about fucking 5-0. The race for third place becomes somewhat academic. So I would like to see some of the players who've sat on the bench for the last little while come on and get a game in the final game of the season. I mean, Almunia could play, Juru could play, Senderos could play, Hoyt could play. We don't really have much in terms of strikers who've been sitting down, but certainly at the back, I'd like to see those guys get in, and they deserve a game. And it's not as if our so-called first choice back four has been that solid anyway, so it'll be good for them to get 90 minutes under their belt and show people what they're made of as well. Either way, we've qualified for the Champions League. I don't think we're going to get third place because of the Liverpool game, so it doesn't really matter. Will we win? Because Portsmouth, I think, still have a chance to go for the UEFA Cup. Hang on a second till I check this out. I've checked it out, and yes, Portsmouth can still qualify for the UEFA Cup, depending on the results of some of the others. So, I suppose they'll be up for it and trying to win the game. Some Arsenal old boys to face. Lauren, Kanu is there. Big Fat Saul is there, but I'm not sure if he'll play because he had a bad injury to his pie-eating arm. So we won't see him, but be good to see Lauren again. And that's it. And after that game, the season's over. And what are we going to do? No football for the best part of 3 months, which isn't good. Although, based on this season, it probably isn't the worst thing that could happen. Although, a summer of transfer speculation and rumour and nothing happening. Oh, it's always a laugh a minute, isn't it? Every day, checking news now every 5 minutes to see, has anybody signed anything? Ooh, maybe there's something on Reuters. Ooh, maybe there's something in the Spanish papers. Maybe last summer, of course, being the most frustrating summer of all time after signing Rosicky before the World Cup, nothing happened until the final minutes of the transfer window. And even then, we only brought in fucking William Gallas, got rid of that other little cunt, and Danielson as well. And I think we bought someone else on that day, didn't we? But I'm forgetting. Oh, God, it was Baptista. Jesus Christ, I'd forgotten all about him. Sweet, holy mother of the Sacred Heart of the Crucified Jesus, that was a fabulous few minutes there when I forgot all about Julio Baptista. Now I've remembered him again. Oh, this season has been fucking torturous, eh? But we've got it all to go through again, my friends. It should be fun. Sort of like, circumcising yourself and then stitching it back on and then recircumcising yourself. Oh, yeah. I can't wait, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, here's the 3 points at the weekend. Let's finish off the season as well as we possibly can. 3 points and lots of goals and somebody kicks a ball into Harry Redknapp's face, which would be amusing to me. I would laugh in that special way when something is really amusing. Sort of like, tee-hee. Talk to you all next week on the blog. Until next week's Arscast, take it easy. Bye.
stop in the name of Christ before I shoot for goal. Stop in the name of Christ before I shoot for goal. Shoot it all over. Oh, shoot it all over. I am karaoke king of all Belarus.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.